Hi, I'm Sabrina Petrofessa.
And I'm Lily Rugo.
And this is Earth's Mightiest Fangirls.
This is going to be an interesting episode because this is the first one where we're not in the same room. And we're figuring some remote recording out.
So please forgive me when later I have to edit this and hopefully it sounds okay. And also please forgive any weirdness coming from my voice because half of my face is currently numb.
This episode's going to be a ride.
Yeah.
Not just between the hosts, but also just the content, because what movie are we talking about today?
Captain America, the Winter Soldier! Your girl's real excited.
Get ready for some unpopular opinions on my behalf.
The Winter Soldier was directed by Anthony and Joe Russo, and it was written by Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely.
What year did it come out?
It came out in 2014.
Whoa. It does not feel that old.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's only 4 years ago. I feel like we're starting to get into the movies that feel pretty recent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, there's that. Huh. Okay. And I have a little, summary of The Winter Soldier. It's not a really good summary. It's mostly a jokey joke summary because I love this movie. And if you're watching this, I'm not watching this. We're not. No one's watching this. If you're listening to this, I feel like you have to know what The Winter Soldier is about. Okay. Captain America, The Winter Soldier is about Steve Rogers taking down Hydra, who has infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D. But none of that matters because it's really about Steve discovering his best friend, James Buchanan Barnes, is alive and has been acting as the Winter Soldier, an assassin who's been active for 50 years and thought to be a ghost story.
That's good. That's a good summary.
There we go. Because I really feel like, end of the day, the whole plot about S.H.I.E.L.D. being taken down by Hydra from within, while it is a impactful plot line, the only part of this movie that matters is that Steve realizes that Bucky is alive.
It was interesting because we'll get into my relationship with this movie, but when I was rewatching the trailers, the two official ones, the first one was mostly focusing on the, like, intrigue and the action plot, so what basically was going to end up being the Hydra plot. And I was like, why didn't the first trailer have anything to do with the Winter Soldier? And then the second one is entirely about Bucky. So it was interesting that they had those two separate and they didn't try and put it together in one trailer.
Yeah.
Also, is this the first time the Russo brothers directed for the MCU?
I think so, yeah.
That's cool. They did a really good job.
Okay. You know your girl has notes.
This is, fun fact, this is the movie that started this podcast.
Oh, yes. And this is also the movie where our outro line comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, how I always say, we'll be with you till the end of the line. It's the thing that Bucky and Steve say to each other in this movie.
That's totally a straight thing to say to each other.
You know, yes, the straights do. My first note for this whole movie, though, is best opening ever. I love the opening of, like, Washington, D.C., like, seeing the setting, and then it's just immediately meeting Sam through Steve running circles around him. Actually, not just running circles, like, running miles around him.
Yeah.
So I always thought that was funny. And I love the, on your left, on your left, on your left, that, like, comes from this.
There was one review who tried to mention that scene, and they got the quote wrong.
What did they say?
It's three, I'm on the left, and it's like, I don't know what they were watching, but it's three words, and they still
also,
got it wrong.
On the left doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
Also, Sam Wilson, introduction of Sam Wilson, Anthony Mackie, incredible. I love Anthony Mackie. What a great character. I love that his, like, I think I had a note where I was like, I said, Sam is the best character, funny, and relates to Steve as a soldier and not a hero.
Yeah, I thought that was really important that they established that right away, is, Steve is in this really weird place now and still relating to everything, and it was nice to have a buddy who got the trauma that he went through.
Yeah.
Kind of.
He was trying to, like, make things relatable, even though there's nothing that he could possibly relate to in that time, other than that experience of being a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
This is, the opening scene is also the introduction of the list.
And the great gif, the internet. So helpful.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite thing is that the list changed depending on what country you were. Not every country, but it changed depending on some countries. We should find that and send it out, because I thought that was a cute little touch on Marvel's part.
Yeah, it was really cool. I really liked that, like, that existed. I have some highlights from what I thought was funny on the list. My favorite thing was Thai food.
Right? I liked the moon landing, because that's when you realize, like, oh yeah, he really missed the moon landing.
We should take a moment to talk about how amazing all of the fight choreography in this movie is.
Some of the best fighting that we've seen, because everything, a lot of the other fights have been focused on, like, either the weapons and Iron Man's suit and or big, massive fight scenes. We haven't seen a whole lot of hand-to-hand. And since Cap, his main weapon is the shield, we finally get to see really good hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah. The first fight scene we see of this movie is Steve on the ship. It's a ship, right?
The massive naval boat.
Yes. Rescuing hostages while Black Widow has a side mission on that boat. But I think the thing that was so... I don't know, what makes me so excited when I watch that scene is how quiet it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can see how stealthy Steve is as a soldier, and you're like, oh my god, like, this isn't World War II. He's, like, really, I don't know, like, what we've seen him do before is not anything that we needed to see him be stealthy in.
Yeah.
Other than when he rescued Bucky in the first Cap movie.
Yeah.
But, like, the way that this scene is edited in The Winter Soldier, it's so quiet. And you're like, oh my god, I feel like this man's nickname, at some point, someone has called him Twinkle Toes. Just because how, like, literally quiet he is. And then, of course, my favorite thing is, like, when he's fighting Batroc at the end of this scene.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, I thought you were more than a man with a shield. And Cap is like, okay. And he puts his shield back on his back and is like, on va voir. Like, let's go. Let's see.
I understand why, for, like, the aesthetic and whatever, but I'm kind of mad that Cap took off his helmet mask thing too, because, like, okay, fine, you can prove your point, but you should still protect your head, child.
Yeah, but that helmet hair, though.
Yeah, they had to do it. They had to do it for the look. But, like, you're about to take a lot of blows to the face. Try and protect your noggin.
I literally just looked down and saw that in my notes. I wrote, that helmet hair, though. Also, my big note of this scene is, like, Steve is very uncomfortable working for a spy organization.
Yeah.
I don't understand. He's like, the note is, I love how Steve is so uncomfortable with spy shit when he works for a spy organization.
I guess they kind of get into that with Peggy whenever he visits her in the hospital. It's like, ugh. Half the reason I stay is because you helped found S.H.I.E.L.D. And it really does seem like he doesn't really want to be there, which they kind of express, or not express, which they kind of explore a bit more as the movie goes on. But yeah, you kind of get the vibe that he really doesn't want to be there.
You know, that scene kills me.
I cried when I watched it the second time. At work.
Right, you were watching this at work.
Because, I guess I should out myself now, I literally do not remember this movie. That was why Sabrina and I were watching it the first time, way back when we decided to do this, is because, for some reason, in the whole MCU, Winter Soldier is one of the most forgettable movies to me. It just left this huge gap in my knowledge. And then later, whenever everyone was saying it's the best MCU movie in existence and things like that, and, like, it changed everything and so on and so forth, all I remembered from this movie was that S.H.I.E.L.D. fell. We found out Hydra existed. And that was it. And even when I was watching the movie and then we had the big, like, Bucky reveal, I did not know who that was. And I know we've had the whole thing. Actually, I didn't know. But I know earlier in the movie they had, like, Cap going to the Smithsonian and looking at this exhibit on his life. And they had the whole thing about, like, James Buchanan Barnes was the only Howling Commander to die, pretty much. And that was supposed to be our... I guess that was supposed to be the reminder in case you didn't know who Bucky was. And then you had the reveal later of who Winter Soldier was. And it wasn't until Bucky was back in the lab chair thing and he was having flashbacks of when he died in the first Avenger that I was like, oh, that's who you are. Yeah. Sad. When I discussed this the first time with Sabrina, she was very sad with how little I remember Winter Soldier and how little I care about Bucky. That's why
I'm
we watched
still
it.
Sad.
I empathize with Bucky and I am interested in him as a character, but whenever it comes to things about him or Winter Soldier, I forget everything that happens. Like, he showed up again at another point and I was like, who dat? Oh, it's the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, like, literally me and Lily were talking and I was like, actually, we were at, like, a senior week event, and Lily was drinking some scotch, and I was like, oh my god, I have a whole bottle at home. Like, let's drink some scotch and watch, like, Marvel. And then she said something about not remembering Winter Soldier, and I was like, oh my god. It was just like, that means you need to come over, and we're watching the Winter Soldier. And then when she came over... we ended up just getting drunk and not watching The Winter Soldier and planning this.
Yep, but it's okay. I've watched The Winter Soldier again.
And hopefully now you'll remember it.
Yeah, hopefully now I remember it. And now I also had to do, like, readings and I watched the trailers because I finally remember this movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I think when it came out in 2014, I was probably, like, you know, a dumb high schooler and all of the, like, nuances that they were trying to go for of, like, government oversight and the surveillance state just went completely over my dumbass head. So that's why I don't remember this movie as much, because a lot of its greater, finer points just went by me.
No, your girl saw this twice. I literally saw it, like, on a Friday with my brother and then the next day with a friend. So I saw it, like, 2 days in a row, and both times I was like, this is the best movie ever. Like, it's the best sequel ever. And if anyone's listening who, like, wants to fight me about that, about, like, no, The Godfather 2 is the best sequel ever, I don't care. This The Winter Soldier is the best sequel ever.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to Peggy.
Yes, the most important part.
Yes, the reason why we got sidetracked in the first place. Peggy Carter in that scene, heartbreaking, because the second she, like, coughs and then looks at Steve and is like, Steve, you're back. You came back. I couldn't believe what was happening. I was like, oh no, Peggy Carter, love of my life, has dementia.
You knew also in that, I thought they both did that scene really well, because you knew in that moment that they had both been through this a lot. She has been through that emotional turmoil of finding out Steve is alive. And then the other emotional turmoil of Steve having to live through this over and over again. Mm-hmm. They both did that scene really well.
Yeah.
That was heartbreaking.
Hayley Atwell and Chris Evans have some of the best chemistry in the entire universe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seeing the two of them work is amazing.
Yeah.
Which is why it's so awkward when you try and see him flirt with the nurse down the hall.
Ugh.
I don't like that. Okay, so that character, Agent 13, is Sharon Carter, Peggy Carter's niece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not explicit in this film that that's who she is, but everyone who, like, knew anything about that character going in knew who that was and knows that in the comic books, she is Steve Rogers' love interest.
Ugh, I don't like that.
Yes.
That's honestly, I do enjoy the chemistry between Steve and Bucky, which is why I am okay with Stucky, because, like, the way that it's set up currently is that, like, Peggy went and lived her life. They had, her and Steve had this one great romance, and then tragic circumstances happened. Mm-hmm. And then Peggy lived her life to her fullest, and now it's Steve's turn to live his best life. And you know who he should live his best life with? His best friend.
Yes.
So that's why I'm... And also, he kind of mentions at one point to Black Widow, I love how Nat is his best wingman.
Oh, yeah, Nat spends the entire movie trying to be like, hey, what about that girl from accounting? What about her? What about this person? I love how there's this one moment where she's like, well, what about that girl, like, Laura or something? And he's like, oh, the one with, like, the nose piercing? She goes, yeah, she's cute. I'm not ready for that.
That's also, like, a minute, even less than a minute, that she kicks a man off the top of a roof. Part of their plan. But she, like, drop kicks someone off a roof.
Sitwell.
And then she's like, what about that girl from accounting? So that was a good little aside.
Yeah.
But anyways... At one point, Steve tells her, like, you know, it's kind of hard for me to find someone with the same life experiences. The closest person right now is Bucky, so...
Yeah.
They could spend the rest of their lives together, just saying.
I wouldn't be bad.
Yeah.
Personally, I would be totally okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's that. Just... Still, man, I can't help it. So we should get to the big helicarrier thing. So watching this again, I don't know why in the amount of times I saw it the first, I don't know, 30 billion times I watched it. The thought process never came to me when Fury is showing Steve the helicarriers, the ones that can, like, literally just shoot people for no reason. The thought going through my head in that moment was, this is some police state type stuff.
Yeah, which is, I think, the point. That's what they wanted people to realize, you know?
Yeah. And, like, I'm not stupid. I know that that's what the point of this movie is, and I know every time I've seen it, like, I know that that's what was happening. But, like, really, truly, watching it, and, like, watching it more analytically than I usually do, I was like, wow, they really set this up to be like, this is a police state now.
Mm-hmm.
And no wonder Captain America is against that. You can't just, like, be like, hey, Captain America, are you okay with us shooting people without having really done anything yet? He's not gonna say yes.
Yeah.
No, obviously not. And then I was thinking, how can anyone trust Nick Fury after this?
It wasn't a review. I didn't read reviews for this one because I was more interested in look backs, because I am that stupid. Again, the first time I saw this movie, Police State did not enter my consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the look backs were kind of being more critical and analytical about what this movie meant. And people think that... What was the... People think that Nick Fury and what he represented, he should have died this movie. If S.H.I.E.L.D. was going down, Nick Fury should have gone down with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would not have been mad at that.
Yeah.
Because, honestly, like... Not that I love Nick Fury, I love the character. I especially love his little moments in this movie specifically. Like, mm-hmm. when they're going down to see the helicarriers for Project Insight is what it is. And Fury is telling Steve the story about his grandfather and how his grandfather loved people. He just didn't trust people. That was such a good little moment. And I've seen other people on, social media and stuff say, like, this is one of those moments where Nick Fury is allowed to be black. He's, like, talk. I don't, like, sometimes when I'm watching, I'm like, I don't know how that works, but okay. I'm not going to dispute that. But, you know, like, it's one of those human moments where you get to mm-hmm. learn a little bit more about him. Because really, he's kind of this character where you're like, I don't know anything about him.
Yeah.
He's just there. And that's, like, the point of him, but, like, he's just there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I'm glad we got that really cool final, like, reveal and fight scene in the end of the movie when he walks off the helicopter and Pierce realizes, like, not it's game over, but, like, sees him alive and stuff. Like, that was a cool moment, and I'm glad we had that in the movie. But I do wish he had died.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it would have given like some nice little finality to it, and given future movies maybe some more creative ways to solve their problems.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, speaking of Nick Fury's death, let's talk about that fight scene in the car, where he uses his car to fight all of these Hydra agents.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. Speaking of, like, when Nick Fury's allowed to be a black guy, they were saying, like, was that intentional commentary that it was a lot of police officers chasing Nick Fury and he got to fight back and win?
So honestly, when I was watching that scene and thinking about him being able to be, like, black in that scene, I feel like the part of that that may... Not that... Honestly, listen. I don't think Marvel movies really get that deep with social commentary. But if we're gonna put it there, I think I just really like that scene where Nick is like, "You wanna see my lease?"
Yeah, that was commentary for sure.
I like that line because in Fury's mind, when he sees those cops doing that, he's like, okay, these guys just think I'm like a black guy who stole this car.
Yeah.
But obviously he's not, and he's like really ready to be like, I'm an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. I outrank you. Like,
yeah.
That's what I'm expecting from that kind of thing.
Right.
But
that was a really good fight. I guess it's a fight scene, but that was a really good car chase.
Yes.
Props to Fury for driving.
Yes. It's also the first time I've ever seen anyone sidestep a car that's coming right at them.
That was really cool. I thought whichever brother did that, or both brothers, that was a really good directing moment.
Yeah. Because I think, like, before I had seen this movie, I'd always been like, why do people run away from cars that are hurtling towards them? Like, just move to the side. Right? Because it's going in one straight path, just move to the side. And in this movie, the Winter Soldier shoots, like, a bomb-type thing at Fury's car. It jumps in the air and starts, like, circling towards him. And then he just sidesteps it to avoid the collision. And I was like, that was the smartest thing I've ever seen someone do in a movie. Like, really, truly. So I just liked that little moment. I think that was my favorite part of that entire fight scene.
Yeah. I saw that in the trailers a lot. They liked that moment. They were proud of that one.
Oh, because it's a really good moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, Fury escapes through, like, I don't know, digging a hole into the ground?
Yeah, with this ultimate weird laser thing. Because you see him firing up this, like, laser or blowtorch type thing, and you're just like, is that his final line of defense? Is that how he's gonna fight this dude? And then Bucky rips off the door, and you see that no, he just tunneled through everything.
Yeah, and then I watch that and I'm like, well, where did the extra dirt go?
I guess down? I don't know. Yeah, I think that was a real gap in physics, but okay.
I mean, this whole movie is a real gap in physics. Look at what Cap can do with that shield.
That was my other question. I know that Vibranium?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know that the shield is made out of vibranium, which is the toughest metal in the world, slightly magic, whatever, and that's why the shield can put up with everything, but Cap can't. So when he launches himself out the window of the elevator and lands in the lobby of the shield Triskelion building, and he's just curled up on his side, how did that not royally mess up his everything? I know why the shield survived, but how is his arm okay? He does a lot of stuff with that shield that I'm like, I know why the shield survived, but why did you?
Well, let's circle back to that, because there's a lot that leads up to that that I kind of want to... Not a lot, but I want to, like, talk a little bit about that. So that's right after it's right after Nick goes into Steve's house and is like telling him that the shield has been compromised, and then Bucky shoots him through the walls then, And then Agent 13 comes barreling in, and then Steve realizes for the first time that his nurse neighbor is actually an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun! And then Steve does a little, like, goes off, chases Bucky, and then he catches the S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, Steve throws the S.H.I.E.L.D. at the Winter Soldier, and he turns around and catches it with his arm, and it's the coolest thing ever.
It is, because I think that's when you finally realize, like, the Winter Soldier is actually gonna, he's gonna put up a fight.
Yeah.
He's not like the other bad guys that Cap has fought so far.
Yeah.
Speaking of ridiculous, indestructible materials, what is Bucky's arm made out of?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't worry about it. It's I really strong. Don't. Yeah. Yeah, and then it's after this scene that they're in the hospital, and at this point, Fury has given Steve this USB.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the hospital, and then he dies. He dies, quotations.
He low-key dies.
He low-key dies, yeah. You can listen to that in multiple different ways. He low-key dies, or he low-key dies. And Natasha's really sad about it.
Yeah, you finally see the real, like, fatherly mentor figure. Maybe, like, even the small, like, godlike idol figure that Fury represented to Nat.
I was really surprised by it, though.
Mm-hmm. Because you didn't have a whole lot of reason to think this beforehand.
No, I just thought, like, you know, he was her boss. Like, I thought any emotional attachment she had to anyone in S.H.I.E.L.D., it was really just Clint.
Mm-hmm.
But that's obviously not true. According to this movie, that's not true.
Yeah.
It just was very strange to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then after this scene, that's when Rumlow says to Cap that he's wanted at S.H.I.E.L.D., and they get in the elevator, and so many people get in that elevator to stop Cap. I think that
this was after his meeting with Pierce.
Oh yeah, this was after his meeting with Pierce, where Pierce is like, oh, why was Nick Fury in your apartment? And Steve is a terrible liar and was like, I don't know.
Yeah, because Cap didn't give him what he wanted, so that's when he was like, time to take out.
Yeah.
Take out.
Yeah, so they're in the elevator, and slowly, like, 15 people, probably less than that, maybe like 10 people, 10 people mm-hmm. go into the elevator, and Steve is slowly realizing that this is an ambush. And I just want to say that I think it is fantastic that the people who designed this strike on him, right, was like, we need to put him in a very small, confined space with a lot of attackers. It's the only way we can take down Captain America.
Honestly, though, that does make sense.
And they still lost.
Whoever wrote that had a great little, they gave Cap a great little, line.
Oh, before we get started, does anyone want to get off?
And everyone's face, as soon as they realize that he knows, is a very good, like, aw, damn.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is happening now.
Like, oh no, he knows.
We lost the element of surprise.
Yeah. But then they try to, like, hook. That is such a good scene. Like, seeing how Steve works in close quarters like that is so awesome. And then at some point I just love whenever you get to see Steve do, like, some fun little thing with his S.H.I.E.L.D. So I like at the end of that scene where the S.H.I.E.L.D. is on the ground and he, like, kicks it up. And he's like, it feels personal. Like, after he...
Mm-hmm.
Rumlow was like, it's not personal.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the fight choreographer for that scene was really good. Also, I've seen a lot of the behind the scenes of Chris Evans rehearsing that, and that was him. That was his own, obviously, because that's so much of his face, they couldn't have put a stunt double in. But yeah, I'm respect for doing his own fight choreography in that.
Yeah, that was all him. It was pretty awesome. And then that's when he jumps out the window.
Yeah.
He jumps out the window because he opens the doors to try and get out of... That's not his first route. Like, he's not trying to jump out the window. But when he opens the doors, he sees that people are coming after him. And then he catapults himself out the window. And then it goes to Sitwell, who's just like, are you kidding me? He just jumped out a window. Yep. And so now we're back to your question, where the way vibranium works is that it absorbs all impact.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, I knew why that was. He was curling up trying to, like, get himself as small as he was to the shield, but that's how his arm survives everything?
Probably. And it's also movie magic, you know? Like, it's a comic book movie. You can't really hold up to, you can't expect physics to work.
I was at least hoping that he might, throw out a shoulder at some point after that landing.
Also, I've seen that scene broken up in GIFs, where for as long as he possibly can, he keeps himself really, like, widely spread out.
Yeah.
Like, his arms and legs are widely spread out, so he's not trying to, like, dive down, and he's got the shield in a way to, like, maybe slow his fall a little bit, and then when he reaches near the, like,
the glass.
What is that? The canopy glass thing?
Yeah.
That's when he starts curling into a ball.
Yeah.
To protect himself. And even when he gets up, it's like, there's pain there.
Yeah, you see it hurt him. I was just always confused, like, how did your shoulder make it out of that alive?
He's a super soldier.
I know.
He's a super soldier.
Super soldier with a super shoulder, anyways.
I love the little differences between Steve and Natasha throughout this movie. Because after he escapes from the elevator, he goes back to the hospital, get to the USB port that he left behind a bunch of sticks of gum. Like an idiot. And obviously Natasha saw it and, like, took it. Duh. So then they go on the run together to find out what's in the USB stick. Which, also, the USB part is not protected. I don't understand how they were like, we're gonna keep all of this super secret information in a USB port that's just, like, open.
Right.
Open to the world. Whatever. And that search... Okay, yes. Sorry, back. So they end up in a mall and go to an Apple store in the mall, which I think is hysterical. And
Apple
Shield,
paid so much for that product placement, but probably. Yes, but Shield.
Shield comes to, like, attack them, and Steve is like, okay, if they make us, I'll attack these guys on the left, and you can attack these guys on the right, and blah, 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 blah. And Natasha's just like, shut up and laugh at me. Like, and then on the escalator, it's like, kiss me. People are uncomfortable with public displays of affection. Yes, they are. Like, but that makes people, like, look away because they don't want to look at the people kissing and whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's just so interesting how, like, the spy is like, you don't need to fight. Like, it's fine.
Right.
We're going to get through this without having to fight anyone. And the soldier's like, all right, who am I going to fight?
Right? Like, and you see that for, like, a second before it all kind of registers in the beginning at the mall when he's like, the best way to be on the run is to walk.
That's what she says. She says to him.
Yeah. And that's when you know that, like, he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know how to not be conspicuous right now.
Well, because all Steve knows is, like, okay, attack, threat, fight. Like, that's all he knows. But Natasha's been a spy since she was, like, since she was a little girl.
Yeah.
So, there's that. So, I love those little things. And their search to find what's in the USB port leads her to a military base in New Jersey where Steve actually trained in World War II. And I get so mad every time I see this scene where there's, you know, a picture of Tommy Lee Jones, Howard Stark. I don't remember what Tommy Lee Jones' character's name is, so I'm sorry. Howard Stark and Peggy Carter. And Natasha, like, goes up to the wall and is like, that's Howard Stark. That's Tony's father. Who's the girl? Natasha, you know who Peggy Carter is. Stop it. I know you know who Peggy Carter is.
Right? Yeah.
Why are you lying? Like, that makes me irrationally angry. Because I know she knows who he is. Know she knows who she is.
You're distressed. But yeah.
I am so distressed. And
I feel like she couldn't be that deep in S.H.I.E.L.D. not know the founders. And
exactly.
I feel like at some point she had to have met Peggy.
Listen, I'm going to... It's not a spoiler. It's in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We're talking about it in the next episode. If Gemma Simmons knows who Peggy Carter is, Black Widow knows who Peggy Carter is.
Right? Yeah.
Like, That's my main argument for that.
Fair. And I feel like Fury likes to go on impassioned speeches. He probably had to give her a lecture about the founders of S.H.I.E.L.D. at some point.
Yes.
And also, you can't read Captain America's file without Peggy coming up.
I know.
Anyways.
Okay. Yes. Moving on. While they're at that base, that's where we find out Hydra has infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D. Because Zola yes. has implanted his, like, mind into a computer, and we meet Zola in the first Cap movie. He's, like, what's his name? He's the Red Skull's, like, little lab monkey.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. I also, while I was watching the scene, I was like, Zola has never struck me as, like, a company man.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought he cared much about Hydra. I thought he was just afraid.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's what his like, whole demeanor felt like to me. Especially when he was, like, in, you know, like, locked up when he got captured and Tommy Lee Jones is, like, threatening him. He's, yeah. like, he tells him everything.
Yeah.
Never thought of him much as a company man, so I didn't realize, I know why they used him as the, like, computer thing, the simulation, yeah. but...
The mastermind.
It lacked believability to me.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
I also, speaking of the scene with the Hydra reveal of, like, we've been everywhere this whole time, like, you never actually got rid of us, some people thought that was a cop-out to the greater commentary on the surveillance state of, like, oh, but don't worry, the government is still good, it's these bad guys. We're gonna create this fictitious bad guys that we're gonna pin all of this on, so that way the surveillance state... they thought it lessened the commentary.
I would say no.
Mm.
Because especially with what we're dealing with right now in our government, with, like, literal Nazis coming up out of the wood, like, out of mm-hmm. the blue, where we were like, oh, there are no Nazis anymore. And then all of a sudden we've got, like, obnoxious white men with tiki torches going down the streets. Like, you know, like, I think it rings true that there mm-hmm. are people who work for the government. While not, I don't think it's nearly on the same scale as what Hydra does in S.H.I.E.L.D., and it's a fictional thing, obviously. I think it rings true that there are definitely people within government who are trying to use government to do horrible things.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to look... Sorry. You don't have to look farther than Mike Pence, who used his position as... what was he? He was a governor of Indiana?
Mm-hmm.
He used his position as governor of Indiana to strengthen, like, conversion therapy.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of, This kind of stuff happens in government all the time. We are also a surveillance state. Like, it's not... It's not, like, nearly as bad as this. I don't think our government will start shooting us through helicarriers in the sky.
Yeah. But
I think it reflects sort of accurately.
Mm-hmm.
It's yeah. also a really cool twist.
That's why that is the one thing that stuck with me about this movie, is my mind was blown when they realized that, like, oh my god...
Yeah.
Then, yeah.
You were like, oh my god, Hydra's been in S.H.I.E.L.D. this entire time. That's insane.
Yeah. They've been poisoning the water ever since the beginning. Well, not, yeah, since the beginning of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And also, I'll just mention this, but I was watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. a lot at this point, mm-hmm. and when this happened, I was like, oh, what's gonna... They're not getting a second season. I was like, there it goes. And we'll get into that show later, but I remember just thinking of, like...
We'll get into next week.
Yeah, that poor TV show.
Yeah. yeah, and now we got Sam coming to the stage. They go find Sam because they're like, everyone's trying to kill us. and Sam is ride or die.
He is so dedicated, so fast. I love it.
He was ready. He was like, Captain America needs my help. All right, let's do this. Like, I'm good. Okay. And then once they recruit Sam, because Sam's like, hey, I was in this program where, like, I can fly. I have wings. And then Natasha just, like, goes and steals them for him.
Right? That was just a quick side trip. Just real quick. just gonna go get this jetpack thing.
Yeah.
That was a great reveal because I don't read the comics. I didn't know anything about anything going into this movie. So the reveal that he was Falcon and, like, what that meant to the diehard fans, I thought they did a good job with that.
Yeah, it was really cool. I really liked that. And then they kidnap Sitwell, who was talking to the senator from Iron Man 2.
Right? Such a random cameo of that terrible, terrible character.
I just love that the Russos and the writers were like, hey, wouldn't it be great if we got that asshole from Iron Man 2, who was so against Tony, and we find out that he's been Hydra this entire time?
That's the first Hail Hydra of the movie.
Yeah.
That really... Looking back on it now, at the time, I'm sure it was, like, revelatory. I'm just like, of course he's Hydra. But looking back, when I watched it 2 days ago, I was like, that is such an awkward scene of just, like, going in for the hug and then the, Hail Hydra.
It is awkward, but I remember when I saw it for the first time, I was like,
right?
Like, oh my god, that makes so much sense! Like, I hated him! This is so cool!
Right?
Yeah. And then... Okay, so they kidnap Sitwell. They're on the roof. This is where we were talking about before when Black Widow, like, pushes
him still off trying
the roof.
To set up Steve.
Yeah. But this is where we hear Sitwell say, like, what the plan is, what Hydra's plan is with the helicarriers. Where Zola created an algorithm to figure out who would basically be, like...
The good guys?
The good guys, yeah. And who wouldn't? And he listed off some people who would be targeted, and two of them were Bruce Banner and Stephen Strange, which was a fun little Easter egg.
I texted that to Sabrina as soon as they mentioned it. I was just like, what? Stephen Strange gets mentioned this early? Oh,
yeah,
damn.
They were planning it for a long time.
Yeah.
So... But okay, so quick side note, not a side note. So they're talking about this algorithm, right? And so in college, which makes me sound like I went to college so long ago when it was just like, you know, May. In college, I took a ethics class about free will and how there is this theory of the Laplacian demon who knows, like, math and physics and... humanity to such a T that he can tell your future because he knows exactly how everything is going to interact with each other.
Right.
Because nothing is truly random, it's just everything is physics.
Okay.
And so when Sitwell was describing this this algorithm, I was like, oh my god, the algorithm is the Laplacian demon.
Oh yeah.
Because that's what the algorithm does, is it compiles everything in your past to know everything from the past ever. And that's what the Laplacian demon does. It knows everything in the universe that could possibly be known and possibly unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And then figures out what the future will be from there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
and
a good way to explain
like,
it.
Yes. So... Also, when I was watching that and I realized this, I was like, oh my god, my ethics teacher would be so proud. He would be so proud of me right now, putting ethics into my comic book movies and my podcast.
Wait, I remember you explaining this to me when we were watching it, but I might have had too much scotch to remember or comprehend what you were saying.
Oh my god, this wasn't even the first time that I thought of this. I thought this was a brand new thought.
No, I remember we've had this conversation before.
That is hysterical. I thought about this when I was drunk watching this with you a few months ago. Oh my god. Because I genuinely starred this note in my notebook and went, the algorithm is the Laplacian demon. What is the funeral scene? Oh! Sorry. I have a note of the funeral scene, and the funeral scene is when it's a flashback.
Oh, yes.
It's the flashback of Steve's mom's funeral, and Bucky is like, you know, like, you don't have to do anything alone. You can stay over at my house. We can make pillow forts.
Because they were, like...
such a straight thing to do.
17, 18 at this time. Like, they were still...
I actually didn't look... I don't know how old they were at the time, but, you know, it was before the serum, obviously.
Right, because, like, they were still... They were old. He was old enough to, like, live on his own, but he was still young enough that, like, he needed... He was still a child, you know?
I don't think it was that he was still a child. I think it was just, you know, like, Steve is, you know... Because he had a lot of little issues. He had a lot of issues. And also, he was mourning his mother. Like, Bucky just didn't want to leave him alone.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So there was that whole thing. And that is where we first see till the end of the line. Because Bucky's like, you know, you don't have to do anything alone. I'm with you till the end of the line.
Yeah.
And my heart breaks. It's such a good, cute little scene. And then I just loved seeing that little bit of them before the war, before anything. Like, it was just them being friends and helping each other.
Yeah. There's one of the... Entertainment Weekly did a whole, like, look back. It was a thing they were doing for Infinity War. And one of the quotes specifically about Winter Soldier was, "You don't have to ship Stucky to acknowledge that the relationship between Cap and Bucky is the heart and soul of the Captain America franchise."
Truly. Truly.
There's no climax to the Cap movies until something happens to Bucky.
Exactly. And it's literally before this scene, Bucky's being, like, reprogrammed.
Mm-hmm.
And Alexander Pierce is, like, there being, like, he was your target. And Bucky's just like, but I knew him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know who he... I knew him.
Yeah.
Because that is also an incredible reveal on the bridge when they're all, like, fighting and the Winter Soldier comes out and, like... Falcon is keeping cover, Black Widow mm-hmm. is trying to get people to safety, and then Steve is fighting Bucky. And honestly, the length of time that Bucky and Steve fight each other just show how evenly matched they are.
They really are.
Yeah. And the only reason Steve even won that fight in the first place is because Falcon, like, swooped in and kicked him away.
Yeah.
And then that's when, you know, the mask falls off. And Steve is like, Bucky? And then we get, who the hell is Bucky?
Yeah.
So, climax of the movie. Maria Hill has saved Sam, Black Widow, and Steve from the clutches of Rumlow and Hydra, which is still awesome.
Yeah. Maria Hill deserves more.
That's also a really good reveal, too. All covered up, threatens Sam to, like, shut up. And then, like, turns it around and, like, hits the person next to her. Such a good scene.
Maria Hill deserves more.
Yeah. And then that's also when we get the Nick Fury is alive reveal. So good.
Mm-hmm.
There's honestly, you know, a fight... We've talked a lot about the fight scenes. And this last big fight scene is really cool and really, like, grand and huge and whatever, but I feel like the things I really want to touch upon in these last few, like, scenes is that I'm still disappointed every time I watch this and that reveal happens where it's not the British lady who takes down Alexander Pierce's, like, guards.
Yeah.
And that it's really just Black Widow underneath there. I'm always disappointed.
Mm.
Every single time.
Yeah. That would have been cool.
That would have been so cool.
Yeah.
I also love seeing, like, Nick's eye. I don't know why I loved seeing him pull off that eye patch and was like, you need to keep both eyes open.
Yeah. That was a really good Samuel L. Jackson moment. Like, Nick Fury and Samuel L. Jackson moment.
Yes.
So I'm glad he survived just for that moment.
Yeah. I also love the little moments from the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents within this film where they're all saying, like, no.
Captain's orders.
I love that guy who was like, I'm not turning this on. Like, I'm not engaging the helicarriers because Captain America said so.
I think whoever that actor was and whoever directed him did a really good job about that because I think it would have been easier to be with him being all, like, defiant and righteous, but they played him.
He was terrified.
He was so scared, but he still went through, and I thought that was a much more interesting way to do that scene, and so props to that.
Especially since he looks like he was just a tech.
Right? Like, this is new stuff for him.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there's that one guy who's like, close the doors, close the doors, and he gets shot. Ugh. So,
there was a whole air team. And then
the air team that's trying to, like, we're Cap's only air support, and then they get shot down. Like, I feel like a theme of this movie is just to stand up even when it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a good example of all of these different characters doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So nice. It was so, so satisfying.
Yeah.
Also, I love the little, like, when they were put in all the, when Hydra had controlled the helicarrier and it was still and it was locking on targets, you see a little, like, really quickly, you see Tony Stark.
You do?
Yeah.
I was looking for familiar faces. It must have gone by so fast.
That's the only one. It's Tony, like, really quickly. It's, like, a shot. I think it's a shot of him from Iron Man 3.
Okay. Interesting. Because I was wondering, because, yeah, Marvel likes to do that kind of stuff. That's interesting. That's yeah. Cool.
So I got really excited. I was like, oh my god, that's Tony. I remember seeing it the first time I saw the movie, too. I was like, was that Tony?
Mm.
And, like, now every time I watch it, I just look for it because I know it's there.
Nice. Good touch.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, the whole fight between Bucky and Steve it's such a good scene because Steve is just like, you're my friend.
Yeah, the amount of times people have described that as heartbreaking, that whole fight scene.
It is heartbreaking.
Because it really
hurts
Cap. Was
that not heartbreaking to you?
You know my feelings about Bucky.
I know, but like, but you didn't watch that and go like, oh, poor boy.
Of course, like, I did, because like, you see how hard it is for Cap, because he's trying to save lives, he's trying to save millions of lives, and Bucky's in a place where he's fighting and he's equally matched with Cap, as we saw beforehand, so Cap can't go easy on him. He has to really hurt his friend, and like, it is heartbreaking. I understand that, but I read that word a lot.
It's just so, it's such a good little scene though, when I love, you're my friend, you're my mission.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve just says it back to him, like, I'll be with you till the end of the line.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, but, like, the fight scene ends with, like, Cap falling to his death
mm-hmm.
in the water, what is it, the Potomac?
Yeah.
Underneath him. And then Bucky saves him.
I remember that was a surprise when we were drunk watching it, because we were talking and the movie was still playing, and then I just looked over and I saw Cap getting dragged out of the water by Bucky, and I said very loudly, like, Bucky saves Cap, and Sabrina wouldn't stop laughing at me.
Oh, because I couldn't believe that you had literally forgotten that, too. There was so much, like, there was so much of this movie, I was like, you have seen this, right?
Yeah, once in 2014, apparently.
Incredible. I couldn't. I feel like you're lucky I don't have my notebook from that night, because I think I have notes on that where mm-hmm. I was like writing down things that you said which were completely stupid.
Right.
And I was like, Lily, how could you not remember this stuff? Oh my gosh. Yeah. But wrapping up.
Yep.
Since we're wrapping up the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Black Widow has now dumped all Hydra and S.H.I.E.L.D. files to the public.
That's what she was doing while Cap was doing the doing the helicarrier mission. She was exposing and bringing down S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra.
Yeah. Yes. And then she is the one who's testifying in front of a Senate committee.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, why shouldn't we arrest you? And there's like a moment where I think she looks scared that she's about to be arrested, and then her entire demeanor changes and she's like, you're not going to arrest me
mm-hmm.
because I'm the only way, and the rest of the Avengers, even though she doesn't name them the Avengers, are the only way to clean up this mess.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you're going to get through this, and if you arrest me, fine, arrest me, but I am your only way out.
Mm-hmm. Which sets up...
Which is...
Yeah. Some more of the moral questions that the MCU... Not moral, but, like, bigger superhero moral questions that the MCU is going to try and address.
Yes. So good. Yeah. Yeah, the end of this movie is the beginning of Steve and Sam's search for Bucky.
Yeah. which I also forgot. I texted that to Sabrina in all caps because, yeah.
Okay, I have a story. I have story time.
Okay.
So, the first end credits scene of, no. Yes. The first end credits scene of this film is the twins.
Yeah.
Is we see Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch for the first time. So the first time I saw this in theaters with my brother and his wife, we were sitting in the theaters, whatever, we watched it. And there is this asshole, like, 3 or 4 rows ahead of us. And we went and saw a matinee, and so there wasn't a lot of people in the theater or whatever. He gets up, and he turns to us, and he goes, "You know, that's Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, and those are Magneto's kids." And I looked at him dead in the eye, and I was like, "I know. You don't need to explain that to me."
That's so annoying.
It still makes me angry.
Yeah.
And, like, these are the things that, like, it makes my blood boil. Like, stop assuming that everyone in the theater doesn't know what just went on. Like, what just happened.
That's so annoying. And rude.
So rude! I was so mad. Like, when he said that to me, I was like, even if I didn't know, I would have said I knew. But I did know. I did know who they were. Yeah. Because even though I don't read the comics, like, I casually read comics sometimes when I get one. But I follow this stuff. Like, right? The Marvel Universe is something that I follow. So I knew that they were, like, that the Marvel was in works with Fox,
yeah,
to get the rights for Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch because they're mutants. Because they're Magneto's kids. Mm-hmm. So I was like, no, I know. Ugh, stop it. Shut up.
Yeah.
I know. I don't like you. But anyway, I think it's a cool little after credits scene.
Yeah. First time I saw it, I didn't know what it meant.
No one knows what that means.
Right? Like, unless you are familiar with canon, what was going on, that with the zero context of that post-credit scene I thought was interesting.
Yeah. I also like the post-credit scene where it's Bucky at the Smithsonian.
Yeah.
Looking at himself.
That was heartbreaking.
It's like he just wants to know who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the closest thing he can get to it is, like, this. I feel like it must be so shocking for him to realize that there's, like, something about him in a museum.
Right? Yeah. He wasn't just, like, some average whatever person that they, like, pulled off out of the snow for whatever reason or whatever. He was an American hero and close friends with Steve Rogers. Yeah.
Also, if we really quick backtrack to the first scene in the Smithsonian where Steve is going around and now, like, this one little kid notices that Steve Rogers is there. I'm like, I'm so sorry. How is that only one little kid knows that that's you? And that all it takes for him to be quiet is for you to just, like, shush him.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if any little kid actually ran to Captain America, he would scream it and everyone would suddenly know.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But also in that Smithsonian scene, I love that little, like, video of Peggy Carter, like, explaining how Steve has affected her life even after he was dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kills me every
time. We need more Peggy. Not.
I love the trend of just putting Peggy in all of the movies that Cap is in.
It's a good trend. Should keep it up.
I want it forever.
Honestly, though.
But I think that that wraps it up.
All right, one last quote from this Entertainment Weekly one, because it fits the end of the episode. So the question was, like, what are your favorite lines from the movie? So the person answered, "On your left and who the hell is Bucky are strong contenders, but I'm with you to the end of the line is simultaneously devastating and romantic as hell. I mean, damn."
And with that, we'll be with you till the end of the line. You can follow me on Twitter at TheSabrinaPet. You can follow Lily at Lily_Rugo. Please follow the podcast at EMFangirls. And check out our website, earthsmightiestfangirls.com, for updates and the podcast. You can also find us on iTunes now, so please subscribe, comment, do all those wonderful, wonderful things.
Yeah. Thank you to Dexter Britton for letting us use their song Wonderland, and thanks to us for editing and producing Long Distance Now.
Yeah, also, if anyone wants to, like, just, like, help us doing the editing and producing, like, we wouldn't be mad. Like, also, we couldn't pay you, sorry.